When you say spiritual gift here, it's actually the word spirituals, which involve activities, things of the spirit. It's a compound word for the things of that pertain to the spirit. Now, if you read further down, verse 7 says, but the manifestation of the spirit is given to every man to profit withal, and the manifestation of the spirit is seen typically in the prophecy of Joel, Joel 2:28, that was recanted and spoken out by the man Peter in Acts 2:17. In the last day, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. So that's the outpouring. The outpouring of the spirit is the manifestation of the spirit. And the my spirit is Jesus Christ. Because the Bible says the spirit of Christ that was in them did signify of the sufferings of Christ, the glory that should follow. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 10 and 12. So obviously, the spirit of Christ is the manifestation of the spirit of God. And that's what we call the manifestation of the spirit of God. So, look at 4. 4 says, now there are diversity of gifts but the same spirit. Verse 5 says, there are differences of administration but the same Lord. 6 says, but diversity of gifts but the same God which worketh all in all. Now, of course, we have, you know, a mode of thinking which is okay, where we talk about the spirit upon that serves others, the spirit within that is for your benefit, and then the spirit without. But you see, the spirit within is the spirit upon is the spirit without. That is, the spirit within you that causes you to walk worthy of the Lord, that causes you to walk in the spirit, as it were, Galatians 5:22, Galatians 5:17, Galatians 5:25, is the same spirit that's upon you, as it were, to minister to others. And whenever we gather like this, it's not like God comes into our midst. People have that view that God comes. There's a God in you, there's a God on you, and there's a God that comes to church. Now, as though that God, you know, gathers, he comes to church early, you know, as though we meet him there, or better still, you know, he comes and then he sees that we are praying and we are fasting and we are singing, so he joins us in the meeting. No, when we are coming for that meeting, it's a spirit meeting. It's a spirit within us, the spirit upon us, that is available for the spirit without us. That is, everybody participates. So whatever you do in a Christian meeting is predicated upon your knowledge and your effectiveness in the things of God already in you as a person. So when we come for a meeting like this, you know, and you come to minister and to receive of and receive from, is the same Spirit of God within you that you minister with and ministers back to you. Now, for instance, if I begin to speak and then I give an utterance and then Duni, you know, picks up that utterance and she's blessed. Then Samayo gets up and he prophesies also. I have the view that that is something else. It's the same spirit within me that is upon me, that ministers to me even from or through someone else. That's why it says, there doesn't give but the same spirit. The same spirit. The same spirit. The same spirit within us is upon us, and the same spirit when we come together. So we looked at, you know, diversities of this gift, where we have the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, discerning of spirits, tongues, interpretation of tongues, prophecy, we have gifts of faith, we have workings of miracles, and we have the gifts of healings. Technically 9, but again, when you look at it closely, it says gifts of healings. And you see the word workings of miracles in the Greek. It says gifts of healings, that it puts that into plural. Then if you look at it again, you know, it never mentions any of them as gifts, but healing. So, but by the time you see verse 4, it says there are diversities of gifts, but the same spirit. So when it begins to speak about what is given, of course it's talking about gift, but somehow, technically, it puts healings, and it seems to be a different category, and we may not be able to see it in this series, but I guess sometime later we will see it. So technically we have 9, but when we say gifts of healing, and use the same word, that means again, the gifts of healings have diversities of workings that work in different ways. Because the essence of the gifts of the Spirit, why it is diverse, is the different workings of the Spirit within you. Hallelujah. So when you have a word of knowledge, it's not a word of knowledge to your spirit, it's a word of knowledge from your spirit to your mind, or through your mind to another person. That's what it is. For instance, when you have tongues, tongues is from your spirit. If I pray in tongues, my spirit prays. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 15. My spirit prays. If I bless with the spirit within me. So when we talk about visions, it's not your spirit that is seeing God or seeing angels. It's your mind that has a superimposition of the spirit within on it. So it can, it's caused to see it. And look up now. If you look at it again, when you look at the Old Testament and you see those folks in Jesus' days who saw visions, obviously it's not their spirit that is dead, you know, but it's a superimposition of the Holy Ghost upon them, as it were, that is causing their minds to see. That's why things were veiled to them. But when you come to this dispensation of the church, it's from within you, the spirit that knows all things, the spirit that knows the deep things of God, the spirit that, you know, knows all the truth. 1 John 2:20, 1 John 2:27, 1 Corinthians 2:10 and 11 is the spirit that unveils to your mind the realities, the visibilities, the tangibilities, you know, of spirit, the spirit world. Now we are talking about the gifts of God, and this time around we're looking at visions and revelations. Don't forget we did visions and revelation. When you have revelation in singular, you're talking about revelation knowledge. When you have revelations in plural, revelations of things, people, places, times, and seasons. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 1. The Bible says, Paul is speaking here, and he says, now, it is not doubtless for me, doubtless to glory, I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. Visions and revelations of the Lord. Verse 7 says, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. There was a thorn in the flesh, the messenger was given to buffet me that I may not be exalted, lest I be exalted above measure. So we began to look at the revelation gifts. As, because when you look at the revelations now, you have to look at the revelation gifts. Now the issue about revelation, I pointed to you last week and the week before, is that it shows you something. You are made to know something. So the key word is knowledge. Is what? Knowledge. Either you know something about somebody, something about people, something about a time past or a time to come, something about, you know, events. That's all it's about. People, personalities, events, things present, and things to come. But the thing here is that it deals with knowledge. That's it. So, knowledge. Of course, the knowledge here is not epignosis. It's the word awareness. You are aware of something. That's why what happened to Peter in Acts 10, he was just aware of the Gentiles receiving salvation. But he could not communicate it because that knowledge is not complete. It's not complete. For instance, you are just aware that a car can move. You are just aware that, you know, the car can run. The car can carry four people. But you don't even know why. You can't sit down now and teach somebody how to drive because you are aware a car can move. Until you sit down, then you are taught how a car functions, how the brakes function, then you are having an epignosis. That can never happen through revelation gifts. Revelation gifts will just let you see the car. And let you see how the car is working, but will never point you to insight into the scriptures. Let me see how you understand that clearly. That's what they do. Now see this. And we say knowledge, and the difference in, for instance, as you graduate, you know, you move from, let's look at the three categories of gifts of the Spirit. We have the utterance gifts, and they are the least spectacular. I mean, everybody here will speak in tongues. Everybody here will, I mean, depending on, you know, where you are, but everybody should interpret his tongues, and then you prophesy. But so it looks like the least spectacular, but when you look at the church dispensation, it's the most supernatural, as it were. It appears that there's much more of the Spirit involved in utterance than it is with revelation and power gifts. The more you deal with the sense realm, the lesser the Spirit quotient. That is why when you hear the revelation of the Spirit, it lends credence more to utterance than revelation. Power will deal with power gifts. So, it looks the least spectacular. If somebody gets up and speaks in tongues and gives an interpretation, it looks more spectacular if you rise up and you say something that people never knew that you knew. That looks very spectacular. And we're going to talk about that in a moment. Now look at 1 Corinthians 14 and 23 to 25. It speaks about that unbeliever when he comes into our midst. And it says that unbeliever, if you speak in tongues, notice, he says he will call you mad. If you speak in tongues, he will say you are mad. He will be confused. But when you interpret and bring it to the sense realm, then you can have access to revelation. The secrets of his heart is made manifest. Everybody can see it. But you know the funny thing? When all that is done, what does he do? He falls down on his face and he worships God and he just says, God is in you of a truth. He never says he gets saved. Because you have to preach the gospel of Jesus for him to be saved. And that's not going to be communicated by revelation or things revealed to him about people, places, or things. It's going to come by, you know, the convincing of the Spirit, John 16, from verse 7 to 11. And then his heart, you know, will receive the gospel. So that's a different thing. The fact that he will bow down and say, wow, God is here. I mean, it's the same way under the old covenant. And, you know, when you look at Jesus' days, you see people, you know, hear things for the first time, and they will say, wow. And you know, this man knew it. But it doesn't make them saved. It doesn't mean that they are going to be saved. But you know something, that seems to us to be, you know, that spectacular nature is what attracts us the most. Because it's a show-off, you know, to people. But you see, look at verse 29. Let the prophet speak 2 or 3, and let the other judge. If anything be revealed to another that sits by, let the first hold his peace. For you may all prophesy one by one. 1, that all may learn. 2, that all may be encouraged. That's a different thing from what happens to the unbeliever. So when we talk about visions, we are actually speaking about a part of revelation gifts. And a vision is that you must do what? See something. It's not that you hear something or you perceive something. You must see something. But of course, that means that visions are restricted to discerning of spirits. And the sign of spirit is like a sense knowledge picture of revelation. A sense knowledge picture of revelation. And no doubt about it, if you have to ask me, and you tell me to look at the revelation gifts, and I begin to say, okay, the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, the sign of spirit. Naturally, when you begin to grow up spiritually, like I'm still growing, the one that attracts you the most will be sign of spirits. You just want to be seeing things. And then see things, then say things. You know, that's the normal thing. Then, naturally, it will be the word of knowledge. You just tell somebody, look. And then you say this, you say this, you say that, you say this, you say that, and how did you know? Then the last one will be the word of wisdom, where you have insight into events that have not happened. You know, and then you are able to speak, instruct, and, you know, bring people to an awareness of a future happening. But let's look at it. The sign of spirit is all about sight. Anybody can see something. Anybody. I mean, anybody can be made, as it were, to see something. Those folks that were with Paul, as Saul, in Acts 9, saw the light. In John, in Matthew 17, Peter, James, and John saw. You know? In 2 Kings, chapter 4 now. Let me give you the wrong rendering. 2 Kings... chapter 6. Gehazi, you know, the thief. Gehazi, the one who stole money. And, you know, he said, look, pray. Lord, open his eyes. And he saw it. You know? So, the word, the general spirit happens to look like the lowest type in the four gifts. The word of knowledge, of course, it's attractive. You have info. You have info, you have gists, you know, about something somebody has done or is doing. You know, but when you look at the word of wisdom, let me say this. The design of spirit shows you what's happening. Oftentimes, things you cannot alter or change. Like, you cannot even influence it again. The word of knowledge is the same thing. You have knowledge about something that has happened or is happening that, you know, is out of your reach. But when it comes to the word of wisdom, it's the least spectacular, but it's the most supernatural. You have insight into events, you know, and then what to do. It looks like the least spectacular, but it's the most supernatural and the most useful. I love what Brother Higgins said. He said, if you were to look at the gifts of the Spirit, the revelation gifts, that he will say that, you know, when you say of the four gifts, of the three gifts of utterance, he will say, prophecy is the most effective, which is obvious. Or revelation gives, he will say, word of wisdom, which is also obvious. He said, of the power gifts, and so the power gifts, he said, the gift of faith. And you know, I believe that I will say no comments on that. But if you look at the revelation gifts, the word of wisdom appears to be, because it looks into, you know, the future. For instance, look up now. The most active part of the Old Testament was the one that spoke concerning Christ. Have you? It became the most useful, gathered the church age, you know, made us see things and all that, and, you know, so many things like that. So it spotted things that were going to happen. It spotted the cross, spotted the grave, spotted everything. And so that became useful. I mean, what was the point? Thank God for Moses' story. How he knew what Adam did, the fruit he ate, where he went, and all that. But having all that, and not having an insight into the future, will not guide anybody. But the prophet, having the Spirit of Christ in them, did signify of the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. That's the word of wisdom. So we have insight. And he also said, he that trusts in him shall not be put to shame. And that's the word of wisdom. So things, you know, will be pointed out. It looks like the least supernatural. It looks like the least spectacular, but it's the most supernatural, because that's, you know, it's that aspect of the gifts of the Spirit that has guidance in it. Are we there? That has guidance. It has guidance, you know, for us. And if you're a minister also, you know, it has a lot in it. The word of wisdom. So when there's a vision like that, you know, the word of wisdom, where things to happen are shown to you, and instructions are given to you. Oftentimes, the word of wisdom comes to guide our decisions, to guide our actions, to make it possible for us to walk in the light of God's word. Now, don't forget, when you give somebody wisdom, now, let me help you by doing some exegetical explanation. When I give you knowledge, knowledge is about something that is. Okay? When I give you wisdom, it's how to handle present tense knowledge or future knowledge. So wisdom helps you and gives you direction. generally. Imagine if you were in Paul's boat and there was a lot of storm and all that. And then, you know, you had known that there was going to be a problem when the thing happened. And you said, well, guys, let's hold our hands and pray. And you were praying and praying. Like I said, as you are praying, some people jump into the water and that's the end. But the word of wisdom came and said, don't be afraid. You must appear before Caesar. You know, you can choose to be afraid and jump into the water. And you will not appear before, you can appear before Caesar as a dead man. But that was to tell you nothing will happen. That's all. And that was it. When Israel cried out and God said, he will send a Messiah. I mean, it just gives you the confidence. Okay, I will believe in him and I will be saved. Praise God. Same way. So, the word of wisdom comes in most useful. Now, we'll talk about something now. Like I said, I'm be fast. Let's talk about dreams a little bit. I will leave you to think. You know, dreams. I know I've talked about dreams. I did teach two-session teaching some years back. 1999, I think, or 98. I taught one before then, 1996. I was teaching them fulfilling your destiny in God. I think I taught it for about 7 months. Not dreams though, fulfilling your destiny in God. And dreams took twice. And, you know, we began to look at dreams, you know, and all sorts of dreams that some of us have today. All manner of dreams. Some of us have seen different women we married in dreams, showing you are a polygamist. You have seen three themselves that you proposed to. You show that you are set up for a life of polygamy. And of course, shows what's on your mind. You want to resemble your great grandfather. But look at dreams and then you wonder, you know, are dreams just like that? Number one, like I said before, all dreams are spiritual. Or even the one you dreamt that you overthrew Jonathan Goodluck. They are spiritual because they deal with the soul of man and the spirit of man. It's either the spirit of man is communicating to the soul of man, or the soul of man is having fun. Or, an external body has superimposed itself on the mind of man, and it begins to see all sorts. That's where you see, you know, all sorts of creatures holding your head, spiders as big as this house, holding you in itself, and you say, ah, Jesus. So you wake up and then, you finish up with Jesus. So even Jesus can save you. Every time you look at dreams and then you wonder, because you begin to see before Jesus came, there was just this sequence of dreams. It just kept happening. You know, as Jesus was to be born and the angel appeared to Mary, Matthew, and spoke to her about that, you know, it's difficult. I mean, you are with a man and the man has never had sexual relations with you. All of a sudden, he now begins to give you one gist. That as she was in the room, an angel said to her and then she's pregnant. Ah. You know something, you just wonder because this has never happened before. It's not like, you know, you can take him to the Bible and show him Isaiah 7:14 and Isaiah 9:7 and he'll tell you, did he mention your name? That if I see your name in that scripture, I'll not propose to you. That means you will not carry my first child. So a dream comes to your future partner. I mean, don't put yourself in the guy's shoes. Even if you're a word man, you just say, well, I won't tell anybody. We'll just say that I was strong for celibacy for 2 years. But make sure before then you are married to the person who you said saw you in the dream. Now, she says she saw that, I mean, saw a vision and all that. And then, of course, naturally, you know, he was disturbed. And the best that could happen, you know, at that point, his mind is distorted. So everybody will sleep. Abi? Everybody will sleep. That means visions demand your attention. Peter fell into a trance. He saw a vision. They demand your attention. So in this context, in Matthew chapter 1, in verse 19, while he thought on these things, he was disturbed. Behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream. Now, why didn't that angel appear to him as he was thinking? But he went sleeping, thinking, Mary. He was really disturbed, genuinely. And then he appeared and said, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for which is conceived of her is of the Holy Ghost. Shall bring forth a son, shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from his sins. Now this will be done. So he gave him the scripture. So when he got up from the dream, and the angel of the Lord had bidden him, he took unto him, his wife, and then he agreed. So you can see that. You know, he said, look, he will bring forth a child, and she is conceived of the child, he will do this, he will do that. And that guided him, so he understood that, well, at least he's part of the redemptive plan, you know, by marriage. Now, look at chapter 2 of Matthew. Something now happened. This was 2 years after the first dream. Something about this guy and dreams. Every Joseph seems to like dreams. Anybody got Joseph here? So as the wise men came to them and gave them the gifts, verse 12, Matthew 2, being warned of God again in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. So, and in verse 13, when they were, the wise men, and they departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph again in a dream, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother, and flee unto Egypt. And be thou there, he said, flee. He didn't say, go and tell everybody you are traveling. He didn't say, go and gist them, you know, we are going to Egypt, God said we should go to Egypt. You know, people gist a lot. As you're saying it, they say to one servant, I think some people are even going to you, what are they? Where are they? He said somebody came to visit them that God told them to move that they will kill the child. You know, the guy will give you the Jesus, I don't know what he's saying. So he said, flee. That means you run. I'll bring you word for Herod will seek to kill the child. And they left. And you know, Herod did whatever he did. By the time you read again, in chapter 9, verse 19, and when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph and he said, arise, take the young child and his mother, good land of Israel, for they are dead that sought the young man's life. He didn't say he is dead. They. That means not just him. Everybody that had the thought in them to kill that child, they were no more. He arose and took the child. So look at how dreams played a vital role in how we were saved. How Jesus came. They played a vital role. You see that also, interestingly, Mary didn't have that encounter. The angel came to her directly. Because there was nothing she was thinking about. You understand? Nothing was disturbing her. And you discover again that the next person that seemed to have this kind of experience, an unbeliever, was the man Pilate. Matthew 27, you see that he didn't know what to do. You know, he was disturbed. Who shall he release and all that? So he sat down and his wife said, look, verse 19, watch what you do. This man is a just man. He said, why did you say so? The wife said, in the dream, I saw many things. So it appears like the dream is where your attention is gotten. The key thing in a vision is that you must pay attention. And of course, everybody pays attention in the dream. Even those who fight, at least they are asleep. Call their names, they will hear. Some people are very attentive in the dream. Call their name, pray over their heads, they are sleeping. So they can enjoy a lot of revelation. Depending on who is giving it to them. So dreams can come in very handy. But now observe. By the time you enter into the epistles and the Acts of the Apostles, dreams are silent in demonstration. Silent. Though you read Acts 22:17-19, your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. So I want you to think about it a little bit, and ask why. Is it that dreams are not effective again today? You know, in the church age, why will it not be? I mean, what about dreams? The closest you have to what looks like a dream is Acts 18:9. Every time you hear about the vision in the night or of the night, it's referring to a dream. And Paul seemingly had that. The Bible says he spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision. That's the closest that looks like he was actually sleeping, you know, when that happened. You see another instance in Acts 23 verse 11. In the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, "Be of good cheer. That satisfied me in Jerusalem, you must bear witness also of me at Rome." We'll look at this also later. So, it's the closest to a dream, that something that happens at night, you know, when we sleep. So, you ask yourself as a minister, how effective can dreams be? Well, what I'll say is this. If a dream carries a revelation, you will not wake up wondering if it was. So don't try and revelationalize your fantasy dream. Naturally, everybody who is born again, that has a desire to serve God, has had this dream of standing before crowds. Hope you are aware of that. If you have never had it, well, I don't know where you have been. But all of us at one point just see ourselves standing before crowds, and sometimes you'll be like those who say when they got up, they got the name of their church. And that name seems somehow by whoever gives it. I just wake up and sometimes you are dreaming. You watch Pastor Chris and they say 1 million in Port Harcourt. And you see yourself at night. I'm just a cell leader. When will I overthrow Pastor? And I'll hold a crusade somewhere. You are thinking about it. You are fantasizing. Sometimes you are thinking it's true. And your mind is thinking wild and wide. One day. Sometimes you are talking to yourself. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Are you watching me Bahamas? You watching me Sudan? You're just okay. So you go to bed. Of course, your mind would just come out with the thoughts. It's meditation. Your mind will just draw you and a suit, whether it's from Ushodi or from US, and then draw you and you are ministering to everybody. But when you wake up, you see there was no revelation in it. It was just fantasy. Amen. Just like you've seen yourself in Bentley. Why? Because you like Bentley. But when you now see yourself in something else that you never thought about, you just see that the deep recesses of your poverty thinking when you were young remained. So along the line, you know, just showed yourself that we are here. So look at dreams again and you ask yourself, when would I know whether there's a revelation? If you need to be asking that question, that means there was none. You will know that the Lord is speaking to you here. You will know that something is speaking to you, you know, in this context. I remember, you know, me and someone were discussing. She was in this ministry and we're talking. We talked into the evening and we had a nice discussion. And I told her a couple of things. So she went. So I went to sleep. And I just left off just like that. And I just saw her. That we're talking. And then she walked away. And when she was walking, she took some people along. And they were just walking away. And I woke up. And I heard it clear. I just knew it. She's going to leave the ministry in a couple of weeks. She's going to take with her. And I didn't interpret it. If you have to now sit down and interpret it. He wore a black dress. Red shoe. I was on Nakada. My enemy was with a jeep. What's going on? You have no revelation from the Lord. Because you will be aware of what is going on. Are we together? And that can come. And why do we need that in ministry? Look, we are all humans. I've told you before. Sometimes you are just weary. Ministry, sometimes you can get tired. You can get frustrated about some members. You can feel like, look, it's your life. And you're tired. And then, of course, God cannot be talking to you at that point. You wouldn't hear anything. But where he wants to sleep, no, 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 I don't want to keep out, I want to sleep. And as you are sleeping, you know, you can now pay attention. So he will say, go back to that fellow, stay with him, love him, sir, love him. When you wake up, you won't be excited. You just be like, Peter, what is this? You will know God is speaking to you. But when you have to sit down and then take your dream to your pastor, I've told you, except you are Nebuchadnezzar, and you are Pharaoh, taking your dreams to people is a proof that you are not born again. Sir, I had this dream. There was a big well in front of our house. Yes. As I was drawing that well, blood came out. You have been watching Nollywood. How can you draw water and then blood will come out? Sir, that's what I saw. And that's what you have been seeing. So you have to see it in your dream. So you have begin to dream. Ah, somebody was giving me a vision, 2001 or so. He said she saw herself clothed with the fins of a fish. She observed that I moved back. She said, why? I said, so that will not happen here. I don't want to appear on city people. Say, man of God caught with a girlfriend who had fins in her body. That's what they're going to say. I was an evangelism. Oh, my water. That's too deep an evangelism. That's get behind me, Satan. So you begin to see yourself, and then some of those things can just come to you, and they warn you. You just know it's a warning. When you wake up, you know this is a warning. You won't be told, is it a warning? What's God saying? Is it God? Is it my father? Is it my granddaddy? And not the kind of one that your late grandfather will appear to you and say, Jide, you've watched enough of the Eloro films. Shogun is appearing to you. Because your great grandfather is either in hell or heaven. Most times, you know. Now, Acts 11. We look at ministry again and we see revelation coming from preaching and teaching. That is, the greatest platform to have revelation is when there's preaching and teaching. We see Agabus, Acts 11, 28. He stood up from among the prophets who were teaching and preaching. And then it's signified by the Spirit that there should be great death throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Acts 11 and 28. Now we're going to do a distinction. Acts 11, 28 and Acts 10, just a chapter before now, where we find the man Peter, you know, fell into a trance in verse 9 to verse 16. Acts 10. And on the two occasions we see gifts of the Spirit, okay? Now, in Acts 11, 28, what gifts were present? And in Acts 10, which gifts can you see there? Acts 11, Agabus stood up in ministering, then he signified by the Spirit that there will be famine in the land. In Acts 10, Peter fell into a trance and he saw beasts and he heard a voice say, rise, kill and eat. Whatever I have cleansed, do not call on common. Now, which gift were in Peter's case? Huh? What? The sign of spirit? Which one? That, hold on. Word of what? Was it word of knowledge? Eh? Not word of knowledge. That which I have cleansed. What was that? Was God about to cleanse it? That's a word of knowledge. Do not call on common. Now, was there a word of wisdom there? Huh? What was it? Huh? Was it supposed to eat it? That's symbolic, I told you. That's symbolic. Do not call on common. That's an instruction. Now, so we have word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and of spirit. Now go to Acts 11. Agabus signified by the Spirit. So which gifts of spirit were involved there? Design of spirit? Huh? Huh? Design of spirit? Jesus is Lord. Design of spirit? It signified. It showed people by, from the onset, I explained this one to you. In design of spirits, you see. Survived by the spirit, others will see. So, which one was involved in Acts 11:28? Tongues, interpretation, prophecy, and then what? Word of wisdom or knowledge? Wisdom. It can't be knowledge. What was going to happen? So, which one was most spectacular? Peter's case. Which one was most supernatural? Most spectacular? Acts 10. Most supernatural? Acts 11. Which one looks least, least spectacular is Acts 11. He spoke out by tongues and interpretation. Don't forget, he spoke about what was going to happen. It helped the church to help the church. So revelation through utterance comes out clearer, much more clearer than sign of spirit. Sign of spirit is subject to a lot of scrutiny. Look at church meetings in Acts, in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 23 to 25. Look at how the secret of the heart of the unbeliever is made manifest. He said, when we all come together and we all prophesy. That's utterance gifts. And then we speak by revelation. The secret of his heart will be the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and the sign of spirit. But look at how it becomes a blessing. By what? Utterance. So utterance provide a stronger platform in ministry to give revelation. Whenever you have to relate a vision, it becomes a second person interpretation. Whenever you speak by revelation, you speak directly. In 1 Corinthians 14, again 29 to 31, he said, let the prophet speak two or both by three, and by that course. He says, let the other judge. He says, if anything be revealed to one that sits by, let the first hold his peace. You may all prophesy one by one, or that all may learn and all may be comforted. So, it appears that when it comes to church meetings, revelation by utterance takes more preeminence in church meetings. We expose things more by speaking. Because speaking is the church age. Praise the Lord. Okay. We'll talk about one other thing now. We'll talk about audible voice. That is to hear an audible voice. When, you know, Paul will say, I perceive. But you will say clearly that the Spirit told me. Now I've told you, whenever I hear the Spirit, is the human spirit born again. The Spirit told me. Now that is in the sense realm. Now again, that looks very spectacular. You understand? And listen now. What determines the use of these mediums is the circumstance. It's not necessarily how spiritual or less spiritual you are. If you were Peter, you would need to be in a trance. If you were Saul on the road to Damascus, you would need that encounter. If you were Paul in Corinth, you would need what happened to him. Are we together? Aha. So don't say, I classify myself as one giving more to utterance that, that's the disease of word men. They hear what you never said. They interpret it. You know? So, audible voice does come to us. Now look at a classical case in the Old Testament. We look at the man by the name Elijah. Second Kings.
Sorry, 1 Kings, I beg your pardon. First Kings, chapter 19. It was first the earthquake, you know all that. There was now, you know, the earthquake happened to him. You know, he saw, he hit the fire. But the Bible says there was a still small voice. A delicate small voice spoke to him. That is a clear voice. You hear a clear voice. You know, you see that in his ministry. He needed that. A clear voice that would not be mistaken. You will know. And one thing that is, when it comes to hearing the voice of God, that's the voice of the wicked human spirit, you will not be confused. A clear voice. Still small voice. In Jesus' ministry, we see it happen to John the Baptist. And God said, "This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased." John needed to hear that. Matthew 3:17. A voice came. "This is my beloved son." You needed to hear that. "In whom I am well pleased." You see it again in John chapter 1. Matthew 3:17. John chapter 1. Verse 29-34. In Matthew 17, Peter, James, and John needed to hear it. Matthew 17:1-5. A voice came. "This is my beloved son, in whom I am." And the Bible says in verse 6, Matthew 17:6, everybody heard it. You will hear it. And Peter gave record of that in the Second Peter now. Second Peter chapter 1 from verse 15, 16, 17, 18. So we heard that voice. In John 12:30, we saw that in this series, where the voice came. Thundered voice. Verse 28. "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." Everybody heard something. And Jesus said, "That voice came for your sake." So they heard that. Now, let's come to Acts of the Apostles. Acts of the Apostles chapter 8. Now, Philip had just done a great meeting, had many great meetings in Samaria, and he was having a great time. And in verse 26, "And the angel of the Lord spoke unto Philip, saying to him, Arise," verse 26, "go to the south into the way, and go down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is the desert." He told him where to go. He saw an angel, and the angel spoke to him. That's an audible voice. Now, when he now got there, he saw a man of Ethiopia in verse 27, you know, a knock of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, come to Jerusalem for her to worship. Was going to sit on the chariot of Isaiah the prophet. And then the Spirit, look at this. The Spirit said to Philip, "Go in there and join yourself to this chariot." He heard a clear voice. "Join yourself to this chariot." That's an audible voice of God. Acts 9, next verse, next chapter. Saul of Tarsus fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, "Saul, Saul, why persecute me?" Acts 9:4. "Who art thou, Lord? I am Jesus whom you persecute. I had for thee to kick against the pricks." Say, "Go, and I'll show you, you know, tell you things you must do." So he heard a voice. Audible voice. Now, because he's not born again, that's not a voice from the Spirit within. Okay? That's not a voice from the Spirit within. Now, look at this. In all those instances,
Everybody needed that direction.
Acts 10, while Peter was doubting what was going on, Acts 10:19, when he was still wondering what the vision was all about, as Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Three men seek you." The Spirit spoke to him. Three men seek you.
Look at Acts 11:12, he narrates it. The Spirit bade me go. He asked me to go. So the audible voice comes in very useful, you know, in ministry. Now let me say this. Acts 13:1, for instance, and 2, separate unto me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereto I have called them. I mean, specific. They were not the only people there. For the work whereto I have called them. And the Spirit said to them. Look at Acts 18. Sorry, Acts 16 first. When they, you know, they wanted to go to Asia. We read that last week. And the Spirit told them not to go. Twice. 6, 7. He told them not to go. See, in those kind of instances, let me say something to you. No matter how knowledgeable you are, if for instance, you have a burden to reach the whole of Nigeria, and you are moving from, you started from Lagos, you went to Ibadan, you are now going to, you know, the next state, maybe Osun State, and then you now have a funny impression in your spirit about something. Let me tell you, I'm not saying this. No matter how sound you are, you will not think what you are sensing is don't go. Are we together here? You will think so. So that it's not a matter of whether you are spiritual, you are sound or not. You will think don't go. You just say, have this. Look at what Paul says. Look, he says, I am convinced, you know, I should go to Jerusalem. I don't know the things that will before me. You know, save, of course, yeah, the Holy Ghost revealed those things. So he chose it. Lord, this is move me. Acts 20:22 and 23. But you see, no matter how you are, and I can speak personally of what I'm saying, the Spirit will say to you, Friday, don't go to your state. You know, there was no explanation. You will hear clearly. Show, in fact, in case you want to be a bit stubborn, you will mention your nickname. You say, Piping. So that you will know that this person knows you. Don't go. No God can call you nickname. It's about names. Name above all names. A nickname is a name. You will need to hear that. And then you will sit down. Because look at some of us, you just be saying, when he says that thing, you just say, glory, glory. Oh, glory, we are the trophies of Christ's victory, hallelujah. You know? And sometimes, like I told you in Fulfill Your Destiny, God, he will just arrange a circumstance for you. Some people have been praying for you, so they will pray at that circumstance. So maybe something, the car you are taking will break down and everything. So, because when it comes to leading, there are times that the natural things will just, you will know that there's something wrong. It's not about using your words and then saying, no, I'm strong in the Lord, the power of his might. Just God, that you are not strong in the Lord, you are strong against the Lord. So, hearing the Spirit speak to you expressly, that is, you will, at that point, the Spirit within will now utter those things. It's as though you are, you know, like Brother Higgins will say in those days, he'll say, it's as though, sometimes you hear that voice and you'll look under, who is under the chair and there's nobody. You look at, I just heard that say to me now. And, you know, in the same way, you know, this is clear. This is not, there was nobody in the room. And we have heard sometimes that someone just tap you, pray. And you always say, nobody. You never have woken up, you know. And it's not the kind of tapping you will sleep off. Some of you are very difficult to wake up. And most of the time, it's not as though you have slept around 1, 2, and 3, and about to enter gear 10. Well, it's just you're still trying to warm the car to sleep. And then somebody taps you. Get up. Pray. So you now look around. You force you back. Oh, it's a 4:30 prayer chain. What did I kill in pastor's house? You say, oh, Pastor Lance is with me. I just wake up and say, Pastor Lance is not around. Nobody's around. Wow. And you are, it is obvious because you'll be alert. It's not normal. Even they wake you normally, if a human being wakes you, they will give you punches. Oh. You just wake up. You're just aware. Now, you needed that. You see, whenever you are called like that, don't start to quote scripture. You know, when we used to play in, when I used to be a supporters club, one of the songs we sang one day against Ibadan Boys High School, that one of our supporters club chiefs got a dirty slap. You know, we were playing, and Jesus was all 4-0. So all of a sudden, Peter Omolabi, the best player in Oyo State then, dribble one, dribble two, dribble three, now dribble the goalkeeper. One guy just cleared him. Wah! They gave us penalty. They gave the guy a red card. So this guy were angry. So they will score 5. So he said, I give the honor. Oh, go. I just said, wah! So if you wake up from, they wake you up, you're saying, glory, glory. He gave it his beloved sleep. Scripture, oh, level, oh, get, if you don't know what to do, pray. Just pray in tongues. At least your spirit did not sleep. I believe so. Just pray in tongues. So, you will need that. There's no, you can't outgrow audible voice. You can't outgrow the voice of the spirit. You cannot outgrow visions. Okay? Acts 18. You will need the Lord to appear to you in a vision. And say, stay in a prayer, don't worry. One day it will be well. Praise God. I say, stay there, don't worry. It will be well. I say, don't worry. Pastor won't send you from Mushi. You will be there. You will grow. Don't be afeard or afraid. You know, sometimes you know the Spirit will tell us the kind of language you understand. He has to communicate to you, so sometimes he can blow a gun. Because if he speaks eye language and you don't understand tenses, and you... Alright, let's go, let's go. In case you don't know, past definitely are continuous. You know, he has to use what you understand. Selah. Okay. So in ministry, don't forget, ministry involves facts, people, and places. All creature, all the world. Matthew 16:15. All creature, all the world. Matthew 28:19-20. All nations. So, you will discover that you will need some information about nations. Creatures, and you know there are different creatures in the creature. So therefore, things will come to you as a pastor. And I'll say this. When it comes to revelation gifts, the pastor seems, the one who has oversight over people, will enjoy the most. Sometimes we're just not keen to see some of those things and know those things. You understand? So you will have facts. Look at the Acts 23. Verse 11. He said, don't be afraid. As you have testified before me, you will do it before in Jerusalem. Don't be afraid. The same way, you don't be afraid. That means you can choose to be afraid and then don't go and testify. So I say, don't be afraid. We think it's for babes. You see how many times don't be afraid was said to Paul. It's because you are in Lagos, so you think it's for babes. When you go for some missionary meetings, and the Lord comes to you and says, don't be afraid. I am with you. Because, you're buying somebody about they be a real rabbi. When someone comes to Jesus, you say, I'm coming from the house of so and so. They are planning for you. They are waiting for you to just go near their crusade ground. They have, and if Jesus will tell you the roll call of their weapons. He says, the least weapon with them are hoes. Ho. Then They have O's as Tospi, Akut as the main two, and then they gave them some knives to, they said they must bring you shattered. That is, they must bring your arms in one bag, and there's no way you will hear that, and you will quote Psalm 91. You will say, but why? I came to bear good news. I said, well, what's your plan? I'll get back to you. You know, you need love to appear to you. I said, don't be afraid. You know, even Paul was very mature. Some of us would just say, but Lord, I don't know. I don't know the itinerary and call duty of the angels, which one is around. So that I can tell him what they told me. Because, you know, you Lord, you are far. That angel is on the air. Let me tell you what they just told me. So you will need that for encouragement. Sometimes in a dream, you just have the Lord encourage. I mean, I had that instance. Yes, Dark. And I was so stupefied. Something happened to me. And I just, you know, in a vision. And it was so confusing. I just saw Jesus Christ. Because you know it's Jesus Christ. I told you it's not. I won't draw anything to you, I know. And he just smiled. No words. And I was just all I needed to see. And I woke up smiling. That's all he said. What did he say? Nothing. But Jesus Christ smiled. Oh, shall be well. Things, places, and people, you just know. It will happen. That's ministry. Ministry is not just, you know, doctrine. You teach doctrine. There's a supernatural element to ministry that brings guidance, that brings encouragement. And put you know, forth as certain people, places, and things. Now, let me say this. One of the most dangerous strengths, whenever you find yourself having revelations, is this. I want you to observe what I'm going to say now. I remember I wrote this down here. This is part of my notes. I mean, this is how I meditate. And I said, Bible doctrine, mbao. So, when it comes to revelation, you are now, because of the way knowledge is, everybody knows knowledge pops up. Do you understand? When you know something, you just brag. I remember I went for one physics lesson years ago. I just left government college. No, I was in government college. And then, you know, it was offshore tutors. I don't know offshore tutors. When they just started. So, I said, okay, they wrote one law. And I knew it was wrong. Because it was my teacher in school. Siva Subramanian. I said, sir, you are wrong. Ah, your class look back. Who is this idiot? They'll come and teach us. I came from GCI now. You like to pose. I took the daughter. I just, you know, that's pride. I just dusted everything he wrote. I went away. I went to sit down. Yeah, said, what school are you from? I said, GCI. Come and collect the banner. I said, that's good. So you're not asking. So what do we do? He said, ah, right, you did. So I just sat throughout the class. Knowledge pops up. That's knowledge. So when you see a vision, you feel big. About ministry. About the healing ministry. You see a vision about something. You know something about somebody. You know something about Nigeria. You know something about... You begin to feel like you can be dictating to anybody what to do. And naturally, it will want to play into the fact that you now think you know Bible. This was what cobalized a man. Sorry. Did I say that? That Hagin told us the story, William Branham, and I love the man, a great man. Forever, he will remain one of the ones in church history that the Lord has used. But you know, at the point, he began to say things like, this is what the Lord told him, doctrinally. It's normal, it's knowledge. You just feel like you will know, if I can know this, if I can speak about Nigeria, if I can speak over the next 10 years, what is in doctrine? You just go up and say, no, no, no. And naturally, people are prone to believe you. When you speak like that, you now tell them, Jesus was crucified the sixth day, he rose the tenth day. Let me tell you, he is not sitting at the right hand of God, he is swimming. Everybody say, ah, he saw Jesus really. This guy, because naturally, you now feel like you know something. And you see, that happens a lot to some of us, you know, in ministry. You know, you, maybe you have been thirsting and longing, you have been fasting and praying, and all of a sudden we teach you the word. And you begin to move the gifts of the Spirit. Ah! And then all of a sudden, of course, naturally the first set of people that will glorify you will be ladies. Because ladies, sorry to say, they're very emotional. And inspirational gifts, revelational gifts, and they are very emotional in the way people receive it. And they say, ah! And all that. When exploits happen, they will say, shh! Pastor killed 1,000. Pastor Wale killed 5,000. You know there was women that said it. It was women, no? Because they knew he was a single man. They knew he was single. You know he was single when he killed Goliath, he was a single. He was not married. So they said, Saul, you know, Saul had wives. Saul is he killed 1,000, David killed 10,000. You just tell you say, ah sir, they know you have a pastor, you're a celebrity, they say, I have never been blessed. You just told me, in fact, sir, you know, I've been feeling dry in this church for a while. But you know, when I attended your cell meeting in a church, cell meeting, you said, my life changed. I just brought this as a mark of my appreciation. In fact, I know God arranged our meeting. Naturally, you see, as you know, in ministry, when you are single, people say all sorts of things to you. You are worthy to open the series. When you get married, mark my words, adulation will change. I know. Just get married. They'll just say, storm is over. So be careful not to play into doctrine. So in case when you got to the beginning of Thorborn, you saw six angels. As you enter through and you maneuvered into this place, you saw Jesus. And then he sat down and he told you about Nigeria, that Jonathan will rule for 12 years. As you entered, please, open your Bible. Please, take notes. Please, when you get home, don't allow Jesus to teach you what I taught you. Okay? Are we together here? Be careful. I'll start rounding up. When it comes to revelation knowledge, thinking is involved. Meditation. It's called the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Actually, it should be wisdom, which is revelation, in the knowledge of Him. Your mind is taught in that one. You are taught. You learn. I've spoken about the word of knowledge. It pops up naturally. Why? You know, word of knowledge gives you just info, gist. You know, but we can make the word of knowledge edify others when we use it to minister to their spiritual needs. Not that we now use it to collect money, use it to, you know, marry wives and all that, as the case may be. Now, I'll just say this and then we close. When it comes to ministry, for instance, revelations come very handy in healing meetings. Sometimes you need to spot a demonic activity. Sometimes specifics of the sickness. Sometimes, you know, the word of knowledge points out those to receive. Acts 14. Paul perceived a man when he got to Lystra, Acts 14 verse 9, he had faith to be healed. Paul perceived it. He perceived that the guy had faith to be healed. He called out the case. He said, be healed. You know, the unbeliever too can get blessed. 1 Corinthians 14, 24 and 25, you know, in healing meetings and sicknesses. We'll look at that. We'll look at that, you know, technically next week. Next week we're going to look at the gifts of revelation in types of meetings. We're going to see how it functions in teaching meetings, also when you're teaching, how it functions in healing meetings, and then when you reach out to the lost, you know, what we call the crusade, how it functions and what it does, you know, in those. Are you ready to hear that? Well, don't forget, we're looking at ministry now. So when it comes to healing meetings, it helps you identify. For instance, you have, you know, a large crowd of people in a meeting. It helps you identify, you know, sicknesses and diseases. Sometimes the demonic activity, just like, you know, Sir Paul, you know, Silas, you know, when in Acts 16, and he saw that, you know, lady, that young girl who was possessed of devils. And, you know, you will see it written on her face, and, you know, Paul said to the Spirit, he said, get out of her. So that can come in
you know, handy when you are ministering to the sick. Anywhere you find, you know, the gifts of power in operation, the revelation gifts can come in handy when something has to be done that you have not done. Sometimes some things have to be done that you have not done. Sometimes when you are ministering to many people, you just lay hands on everybody generally, but sometimes that, you know, you single out, you know, people, and that also is useful in ministry. Praise God. So next week we'll look at different meetings, and I think we'll start from teaching meetings, how it helps you. You will see how, for instance, in teaching, Paul had the word of knowledge in the way he passed across revelation truths. It comes in, you know, handy. Many times as a pastor, you get to know what to teach at a particular time. Sometimes the word of knowledge helps you to have certain illustrations that you will use. Hallelujah. Let me bless you. Father, Lord, thank the Lord. Give me praise. Yes.